Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, November 7th, a day after the election, and we're more divided than ever.
So
whatever.
I heard.
Yeah, whatever. What the fuck, man? Can it get any worse than this? I don't know, but we'll see. You know, maybe it'll end up just... what am I doing?
I don't know. Okay.
Did I mess up your...
Nope.
Okay, so just my...
We're all good over here.
Yeah, it stopped working for some reason. I don't know. It's like sometimes you just move a cable and it stops working, so I don't know what the hell.
Right.
But at any rate, now there's going to be people that are, like the House of Representatives now is going to, like, fight with the president and everything, so less is going to get done, but what the fuck, man? I'm moving to a small town. I don't care about politics. Yeah. But, you know, it looks like it might actually happen to have the, like, for me to continue the show in Oregon.
So you've got more?
Yeah,
contacts?
Since you're not moving there, I'm going to have to find someone local there.
Yeah, I definitely won't be moving there. Sorry to break it to you.
So I got some responses, and it looks pretty good. So I might just do that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah, something, because you need something to keep you getting up in the morning
right.
at a certain time. If not, right. you just sleep in, right?
So do you have, like, extra equipment like this to bring with you?
Yeah, I'll get some. What right. the hell? It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a big deal at all, but yeah, I'm excited, you know, because I don't want to shelf the show, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, it's
that'll be sad.
Time. Yeah. I know, but maybe take a break or something.
Well, you definitely have to take like a month break so you can like settle in, you know?
Yeah.
And then jump back into it like maybe for February.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see how it works. But thankfully, there's some local people that actually would probably be good. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will be another Danny, of course.
Of course not.
There's only one Danny.
Gabby's not even like me. Let's be serious.
Right. And she's arriving tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You excited?
I am. I'm very happy to see her. Well, yeah. Excited to see her.
Yeah. Your twin sister coming to visit you. I mean, how long haven't you seen each other? Like a year?
Almost a year.
Really?
Yeah, January.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't feel like that because we FaceTime so much.
Right.
You know, it doesn't feel like it's been almost a year.
Right. It's like you know everything about each other anyway.
Right.
So
now it's just like we can like shoot the shit in person.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be cool. There's nothing like a person being there.
Exactly.
You know?
She's like hysterical right now, though, because she just said bye to Marcellus. And I'm like, all right, let's... You're coming for 3 days.
She's not used to partying with her son.
No. She was like, I'm about to put him on a flight. I was like, then we won't be able to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, if that's the case, we could have planned for him to come.
Right.
And gotten, like, a nanny for the weekend.
Right.
So, like, we can hang out with Marcellus during the day, and then someone can come to the apartment and watch him at night.
That's true.
You know, but we didn't plan for that.
No, let her test this a little bit. It's not going to kill him either.
Right. Well, you know? She's just showed up at his school and he was like, Mommy, you're going to be all right. I'll pick you up when you get home.
Yeah.
Like in the car that I'm not driving.
That's cute.
Mm-hmm.
So good for her. You know, I mean, you guys will have fun, I know.
Yeah.
Just don't get her in too much trouble. She
no,
has to go
never.
Back.
She's a good one.
She's a mother.
Yeah. She's a good one.
Yeah.
And I'm more calm when she's around.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day, they're like, are you more inclined to start problems when you're out because you know your sister's going to finish it? I was like, maybe before she was a mom.
Yeah, but no.
Not now when mellow. She could get a felony charge now.
Oh, fuck. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, more states, I guess, legalized marijuana, you know, so that's good news for some people.
Right.
We already got used to it, so here we take it for granted already.
It's going to be cloudy till 12. I just looked.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's like a little cloudy this morning.
Yeah, it is cloudy. I know.
And it's only going to be 67 degrees for a high today.
Are you serious?
That's pretty low.
That is.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, well, we're feeling some fall.
Right, yeah, because all weekend the high is only 75.
Yeah.
I mean, 75 to me is perfect weather, but...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but at night, if it's 75 for a high, that means at night it's probably going to be like 60. Yeah, maybe
it's
kind of
chilly. Yeah. It's kind of chilly at night, but come on. I mean, our weather is so mild. We have nothing to complain about.
Right.
You know?
Right. Gabby said it's been raining there all week. So I'm like, whoo, yeah, I'm not going to complain about no 60 degree
exactly.
sweater weather. That's for sure.
Exactly. And you'll get sun later on today. So it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I'm not worried about you. You'll get your heat and your warmness, I'm sure.
Right.
That's why you're here in LA in the first place, right?
Exactly. There you That's go. Why I'm staying. For sure.
Yeah. What if you guys go out and she meets somebody? And
then she wants to move.
No, and you don't. You know, will you be irritated?
Gabby's not the type to ever go home with somebody on the first night, so not
right,
really.
Right, but not, I'm not saying that, but maybe she connects with someone.
Oh, no. I hope she does.
Yeah?
Yeah. I hope she... It's time for her to meet a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she's been fucking with this artist who's, like, super famous, and I'm like, he ain't the one. Sorry to break it to you. I'm fucking a dude that isn't famous and just has money, and he ain't the one, let alone... Someone who's well known and has money, forget it.
Yeah, he's not gonna stick around for long.
No, it's just it doesn't matter. It's just like unless you've been rocking with the dude while he had nothing, it's like impossible,
right?
To like break in that barrier of being like I'm the one for you,
right?
Because they're just gonna put you in the same category as everybody else.
As everybody, yeah, that's true.
Because like what, even if you're genuine and you're like I'm not like these other girls. He doesn't know you.
Right.
He doesn't know that. That's like guys telling you, I'm not like every other guy. Really?
Yeah, you know, besides it's like supply and demand. If he has a lot of women wanting to be with him, he's going to pick more than one.
Exactly.
I'm sure.
And he's definitely going to cut off the chick that wants, you know, just him.
Yeah. Unless he decides to settle down and get married. You
exactly.
know? I mean, there's artists like that too.
Right. But I feel like that's going to be like, I feel like guys are like that when they're like closer to their
40s. Right.
Like 37, 38, then they're like, all right.
Yeah.
It's time for me to like think about this. Yeah. I still think guys around 35, 36 are still like fuck boys.
Yeah.
For sure. Especially in a city like Los Angeles. And if you look good at 35, 36, 37, like if you still look like you're 30.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get a lot of women.
Yes. Mm. That's why I'm like, maybe I should go for a 40-year-old. Someone like 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
Are you done fucking or not? Can we be together now? Are you over it?
So you find that most young men, all they want to do is fuck. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's all guys care about. Like, literally, I was training with my personal trainer, and I was, like, crying about this guy yesterday. Like, I literally left here and was, like, crying while I was working out.
God.
And he was like, listen, he's like, this dude is no different than any other dude with money.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "What? How did he make your life better?
Right.
And I was like, well, he made me laugh. He goes, some other dude with money can make you laugh.
Yeah.
He goes, with every guy that has money, there'll be another guy with money.
Move and the besides, fuck. Yeah. And besides, you know, I mean, are you going to pick a guy based on his money?
No, then, and I don't even care about that. Like, I don't care
what
car you... I don't even like Lamborghinis.
Okay, so
pick me up in a Jeep.
So that's what I'm saying. So you have a big selection, too.
Right.
Of guys, you
right,
know?
Right, but he said
it's
that
not
every
just
guy...
the rich ones.
Yeah, he said every guy...
Uh-huh.
Okay, so for him, he's like, he's got a lot of money, but he's not rich.
Right.
Okay? So for him, he's like, I choose not to fall in love or be in a relationship because I know that if I do, my chick can go to a party in Los Angeles and an artist or a rapper or a ball player can scoop her and she's gone out of my life and I'm heartbroken. I go,
right.
That's the worst reason not to be in love, but I get
right.
it because it's true.
Yeah.
Girls will leave the guy that loves them for someone who will take care of them better than this guy.
That's true.
And he goes, and for every guy that has money, they can get any woman they want. Like, he might fuck you for a month, take you on 5 shopping sprees, but when he's done with that month, he's
right.
done.
Right. But, you know, they can get all the women they want, but why? Because of the money, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what I was telling them. I go, they're okay with girls just using them for money? He goes, yeah, because it's just like the way you're using... He was explaining to me that guys don't care that they get used for money because we're using you for your pussy.
Right.
I'm like, wow.
Well, it is a transaction.
Right.
The guys give you money or security and you give them sex.
Business
That's what
deal.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
You know?
And then the good girls like me are just like out here struggling.
I know. Everybody's like, what can you do for me? You know?
Right. And I'm like, all you got to do is make me laugh and treat me nice in the morning when we wake up and I'm good to go.
Right. But that means you're a good girl.
Yeah.
guys don't look for that.
Yeah, but you know what? Every single guy that I know, even my guy friends, say that looking at my Instagram page, they would think I was a thought. I'm thoughting and bopping all around town.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I'm not. That's right. The thing.
But that's what you're projecting. That's mm-hmm. the persona you have up there.
Right. And I said that's exactly what it is. Instagram is a persona. It's exactly how you want people to view you.
Exactly. You know, you choose what you put up there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that time I told you I've been following this comedian who does like some of the funniest videos ever. And I saw him at a restaurant. I was going to say hi because I was literally shoulder to shoulder with him at a bar. But he was having the most depressed, morbid conversation with his friend. I'm like, yo, he projects on his Instagram that he's like the happiest person in the world, but you could tell by the conversation I'm eavesdropping on that you a miserable ass motherfucker. So it's like Instagram is nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just bullshit, man. I'm telling you, all the social media. But we spend so much time on it, you know?
So much. Oh my God, now they have that feature that shows you how
much
time.
I know, on the iPhone, right? How much time you spend on everything.
I'm like, oh my God.
I know. I was looking at that too, and I'm going, it's all social media.
Mine was like 5 hours yesterday.
But how can you have any productivity on a phone? Come on. Because it says like productivity, small percentages.
I'm like, right? What productivity are we doing
exactly,
here?
Exactly, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's apps where you can do business on, but still, you know?
Barely,
I mean,
like PayPal.
Yeah.
Like, send me that money transfer now, bitch. Like, that's about it. Other
well,
than that.
Work on a spreadsheet or something on the phone.
Yeah,
you
but who wants
that.
To do that on a phone?
Right, exactly. So most people do it on the computer.
So those hours spent on your phone are strictly social media.
Exactly.
Mine yesterday said 5 hours and 32 minutes. And oh I said, Danielle.
That's a lot.
I thought I was going to say 15, so we good.
Listen, I just figure if you have to go through thousands of comments, you must be spending a lot of time on there.
Yeah, because I got to block everybody. Yeah. I just got to.
Yeah, I guess you can't like... Just let people post without knowing
no,
what they posted.
No,
yeah,
and some yeah. of the comments are so vile. I'm like, you have to get off my page.
Right,
you
right.
cannot. You are not welcome here.
Exactly. How do people even do that? You know, why are you coming on my page and talking shit?
Exactly.
You know? Just get the fuck out. Talk shit on your own page.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my golly.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't imagine how much hate's coming when me and Gabby start posting pics together.
Yeah, huh?
And I'm like, here we go.
Yeah.
I can't believe she's only going to be here for 3 days.
Yeah. You know what I just remembered? Okay, so you posted about, the Victor twins, right? You
yeah.
have an account?
Yeah.
I clicked on that. You have like 2 posts and 24,000 followers.
I know.
What the fuck is that? How does that happen? You
I don't
tell
know.
Me.
I have no
you
idea.
Tell me.
And the posts are like from so long ago.
Right.
Those are like year old pictures. And we're like, hello there. Hi.
People will follow any page, you know?
I don't know. And one of the pics has like 4,000 likes. It's getting more likes than my regular page. And
really?
I got 300,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. People really, really like us together, though.
Yeah.
Like, if she lived in California.
So why don't you carry that account and put something in it?
Because we don't see each other enough. This is going to be our first time seeing each other in a goddamn year.
Right.
So, like, this weekend, we said we're going to do, like, a bunch of YouTube videos for her channel, my channel, take a bunch of pictures.
Yeah.
You know, catch up on a year's worth of shit.
Yeah.
So we have about, like, a month or two worth of.
Pictures
yeah,
to put up.
Because
yeah.
hopefully I can go home for Christmas. So,
That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. Just for like a little bit.
Yeah.
Like a week or two.
Maybe a white Christmas. That would be cool, right? Do you guys get snow there? You do, right?
Do we get snow?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Of course you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Mm. Okay. Well, it's better than a sunny friggin' Christmas.
Man. I would love a sunny Christmas.
Really?
Yep.
They're here. They're the same every year here. But I guess everybody wants what they don't have.
Yeah,
you know?
110%. 100, like, people with straight hair want curly hair. People with curly hair want straight hair.
Right.
People with dark eyes want light eyes, and yeah. vice versa. Actually, I don't think I've ever heard anyone with light eyes say, I want dark eyes.
Really?
Ever. I think everyone wants light eyes.
Yeah, light eyes are cute.
I'd be killing it if I had light eyes.
Yeah.
Like, just killing it.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I want to have a baby with a white guy, so my babies have...
Oh, okay.
Like green or blue eyes.
Why didn't you put those blue contacts on?
Because they're so uncomfortable.
Yeah. I know. But they work. I mean, they look real.
No, they look so fake.
Some of them look real.
So fake.
Really?
Yeah, when I wear them, I'm like, yo, I look like so fake. This does not look like me.
Well, maybe not, because you're not used to it, but maybe they don't themselves look fake. Maybe you look like it doesn't look right on you.
Yeah, no, they look fake. They really? Don't look like normal eyes.
So you can tell?
Yeah.
You can tell?
Like you
can
tell their contacts. They don't look like as if you're looking into the eyes of someone who had natural blue eyes.
Really?
It looks fake.
Huh.
Like the way they draw.
Right.
Draw it on or whatever. I'm like, no, right. This isn't working.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, interesting.
I never really understood the whole... Like I get for like Halloween or if maybe like you're a beauty blogger and you're doing like a specific makeup look you put them on. But I never understand like especially, excuse me if this comes off offensive, but I never understood like black woman.
Right.
Or any ethnic woman wearing contacts.
Right. Okay, hold that thought because we do.
Phone guest.
Yeah, we do have a phone guest this morning. I didn't even get a chance to introduce this, but we're going to be joined by Duenna Welch. Duenna, are you on the line with us?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for calling. I understand you're calling from Oregon.
I am. I'm in Eugene.
Oh, you're in Eugene, Oregon. I was there last month, actually. And but I didn't know you yet, so we couldn't go for coffee or anything. But,
that's right. I was just thinking we might have crossed paths and not known it. It's not a very big place.
No, it's not. But I was only there for... like overnight almost, so it wasn't that. But, you know, I mean, it was one of the places on my trip that I didn't find very, I don't know, exciting, I would say. You know, it seems like just a regular college town.
You know what I always tell people, Sam, is that Eugene is a wonderful place to live, but you wouldn't want to visit there.
Right. Not much to do, right? Especially after I went to Bend and I went to all the falls and everything, and then you just get to regular town. I mean, I felt the same way about Portland, you know, because I thought I came here to see nature and not big cities, you know, so... But... yeah, but I'm going to be moving there very soon. In fact, we're going to be practically neighbors in a couple of months. I'm moving to the Oregon coast. So that's why it was...
Well, that's exciting.
I know.
That's exciting. Where are you moving?
Lincoln City. You know where Lincoln City is?
Yeah, I do. I've passed through Lincoln City. Yes, I have. Yeah, the Oregon coast. I mean, if you're there for the beauty of nature, you're in for a treat, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely. How long have you lived in Oregon? All your life?
No, I'm a sixth-generation Texan, and I've lived in Florida, California, the United Kingdom, Texas, and here. So I've only been here for 3 years.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you lived all over. What was it like living in the UK?
Well, this was in the 1980s, late 1980s.
Oh, okay.
And I was a lot younger then, obviously, but my impression was very favorable. It really showed me how American I am, and it also showed me some things about our country that I would like to improve.
Right, right. And how did you pick Eugene out of all places?
Well, Eugene was kind of like the place where I went to get my PhD, the University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida.
Mm.
But it was a state that I had long had a love for because my father was a smoke jumper in Oregon when I was a little kid. Mm. So I had a kind of lifelong love affair with Oregon. Smoke jumpers, you may already know, they jump out of airplanes to protect forests from fires. And that's what my dad did.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's brave. Wow.
It is.
Jeez.
It's really nuts. I look back on my childhood and think of the days I spent pointing at my dad voluntarily jumping out of an airplane for target practice to hit a little 6-foot mat on the ground and be able to land exactly where he wanted to land. And that's not a normal childhood, you know?
No, not at all. Not at all. So it left an impression on you, I'm sure. So, Duenna, let's get to the reason you're calling in today. You're into relationships and that kind of thing. Tell us a little bit about, let's see now, you wrote a book as well?
I've written two books.
Two books.
The first one has been out since 2015, and it's called Love Factually. That's Love Factually with an F.
Right.
10 Proven Steps from I Wish to I Do. And it is the first book that guides men and women through all 10 steps to finding and keeping the right partner for them based on science instead of opinion. And so that's Love Factually, 10 Proven Steps. And then the second book, which comes out this January 7th, is Love Factually for Single Parents and Those Dating Them.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost the first book for single parents who are dating, period. But it's definitely the first one that's based on reality instead of opinion.
Right. And so let me ask you, are you a single parent too? Does this come from experience?
So I write based on science, but I like to say I write the books that I needed.
Okay.
So I am now happily married and have been happily married for almost 11 years. But I was a single parent, and I was a single person who wasn't a parent at one point. And I really needed the information in these books because I found that what my friends and cultures and opinions were telling me was getting me hurt. It was not getting me happy. And so being in graduate school at the time, getting my own PhD, I started to wonder if anyone had any factual information about any of this. And it turned out that there were about 60 years of good science on the questions that I had. So I initially looked into all this for my own benefit. I wanted to get better at this. I wanted to have more success finding the right partner. And then after that happened for me, my husband and other people started really encouraging me to write a book. I actually wrote a blog for 5 years before I wrote any books, though.
Oh, okay. Now, so, I mean, this fascinates me. What kind of science does this involve in order to improve relationships and dating and that sort of thing?
Sure. So I have a PhD in psychology, but I draw from diverse backgrounds. So I don't use just psychology, although that is a very impressive data set from psychology alone. I also use anthropology, biology, chemistry, sociology in order to make my recommendations. And so one of the things I do, since obviously I can't be the bona fide expert in all of these different areas, is I approach the experts while I'm writing and I ask them if I'm getting it right. I make sure that I am saying what their results really represent. And so the endorsements that I have for the book are from the best scientists in the world in these areas. And it really pleases me that their work, which otherwise might be known only to a few people, is now known around the world. The first book is out in 5 languages now.
Wow. Congratulations on that. That's very cool.
Thank you.
So now, so we want to, what would you say some of the challenges are for people dating? Well, single parenting, we can understand, but like, let's say for people that are older, you know, because single parents usually, you know, actually some of them might have grown kids and everything, and might still be, there are challenges for them, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing about parenthood. Marriage may come and go, but parenthood is forever. And so, for example, when I became a single parent, I wound up having to move back in with my mom and my stepdad for a little while. When my stepdad married my mom, I was already well into my 20s. I was launched, so we thought. Nobody could have anticipated that my life circumstances would change where I was living with them for 8 months. So yeah, it's a good thing that my mom had picked a partner who not only was very loving and generous and open with me, but became like a second dad to my son.
Right.
So, you know, that single parent status can come back to become a factor in your relationships at any point. And so some of the challenges that people face are, okay, I married this person when I thought my kids were launched, and now one or more of them needs to come home. I've met families where well into midlife, the single mom or the single dad and their new partner now find that they have one of the adult kids and several grandkids who need to buy a house with them.
Whoa.
So yeah, it's a complex family situation, and picking the right partner from the outset really smooths the path.
Right, right. Danny, do you have any relationship questions to Duena? I mean, we already have her here, and because you, I'm sure you advise not just single parents, but all people that are finding themselves in the position of having to find or wanting to find a partner.
Oh, absolutely. I have clients all over the world. It's one of the most fun parts of my job. I write about halftime and I see clients about halftime, and I see clients on FaceTime and Skype and over the phone. So that has made it where I can really interact with people anywhere. I've got clients in New Zealand and Australia, Canada, the UK, the United States. I don't like many Americans, I don't really speak another language. So I don't have a lot of reach. Even though my book is doing well in Spanish right now, I don't have a lot of reach with Spanish because I only speak un poquito, poquito. Not very good. So, yeah.
Oh, well.
But yeah, anybody who's interested can go to my website and get free chapters of both books and learn more about becoming a client if they want to. I charge a very reasonable rate because I think love science should be for everyone, not just super rich people.
That's true. So how can people find you? What website?
It's www.lovefactually, that's lovefactually with an F, .co.
Right.
Have you ever seen lovefactually.co and you'll be able to get all that good free stuff.
Have you ever seen the movie Love Actually?
I watch it every Christmas.
I've seen it like 100 times too. I love that movie.
Well, of course she's seen it. The name is a play on the words.
That's why I asked. I'm like, she must have seen this movie.
Yeah.
I know. I've seen it several times.
Oh, I love
too.
That
it's
movie so
cool.
much. And actually, it was my editor who came up with the title. And now the title has become this whole franchise because there's a series of 5 books planned.
Right.
So, but yeah, I thought Love Actually, the message of that movie is that love actually is all around. And the message of my book is not only is love actually all around, but factually, I know that you can learn what it takes to find it and keep it.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you a question. If I was dating a guy for like a month and we hit it off really well, like never fought, no drama, and then he just blurted out that he was still in love with his ex, then took it back and then said, I'm just not ready to fall in love again, and then just cut me off cold turkey, he ain't the one, right?
Is
oh
there
man,
anything
that's awfully
can...
specific. It makes me think that could be rooted in reality. yes, that means he's not the one. So ideally, what you're looking for, I start to say as a woman, but really as a human being, is ultimately to be with someone who wholeheartedly, unreservedly, with crystal clarity, fully chooses you and can't wait to tell the whole world about it. And the guy who's that confused is not it.
Right.
Right.
No, you're right. You know, I mean, I also say, you know, don't marry for any reason other than you want to be with that person for the rest of your
life.
And you feel that you're loved and wanted because that's what it's about. You know, if you're going to sit there and fight and cry and you know, be disappointed all the time, what have you accomplished? You
right.
Know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very true.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they start dating. They may ultimately want to be permanently partnered, but the way they date initially is not likely to get them that because they're really looking for someone who's good on a first or second date. They're not really looking for someone who's good 12 years later.
Yes.
Right, right. And exactly. I feel like this generation too dates, like everyone wants to hook up and start as friends. And if it turns into something, it turns into something. But I just don't have patience for that. It's like, are we together or not?
Yeah.
But maybe that's my problem. Maybe I should just...
I don't think that's your problem. That you actually just brought up a really complex scenario. For one thing, in every culture, if there are more males than females, then dating culture tends to revolve around a short-term mating psychology, a hookup culture. And if there are more females than if there are more females than males. If there are more males than females, like in China, you tend to find a culture that is very heavily skewed towards a very long-term mating strategy. So for example, right now in China, most men who can are building a house so that they can get a date. Like they're like the weaver bird that already has the nest built and he's out there showing her pretty things and saying, hey, baby, look, I've got a nice house over here.
Right.
And so what we're seeing in really big cities such as New York and L.A. right now is that with the presence of dating apps, especially, for example, Tinder, there's really a mentality that's catering to a hookup scenario. And that does, it turns out factually, that doesn't really work out that well for women or for men because men also by and large want to be in a permanent loving relationship. They don't just want to hit it and quit it forever. But what they get when they hit it and quit it over and over and over is a dopamine reward system that becomes kind of trigger happy. Men can't fall in love without dopamine, which is a biochemical.
Right.
They just can't do it. And science now shows that when men have sex very quickly in a relationship, if that becomes a pattern for them, their dopamine never rises to the point where they fall in love. So the solution for them, and it's very counterintuitive, is for them to wait to have sex until they are deeply in love.
Right.
Oh, wow. So everyone always tells me that making them wait doesn't make a difference, but it in fact does.
Yeah, I think so.
Huge.
Yeah.
It is huge. I have some clients who make like Ryan Reynolds look like an ugly duckling. And most of my clients are guys, by the way. Yeah. And they tell me, it's funny, most of the blowback I get on that first book is from women who don't like what the facts are. The guys are like, yep, I totally think that way. That's exactly how it works for me.
Yeah.
I'm super rich, super good looking, tall, dark, handsome, well-spoken, charming, friendly, good listener, growth-oriented male clients who are looking for the love of their life. And the problem is that no woman will say no to them long enough for them to fall in love.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's the problem they're having. And they will express it that way. Like, if you want to stand out, don't put out.
Okay, so what happens if you already
fallen in love?
What if you've already put out, but now you're like, okay,
well, it's too late.
I want to be. No, sometimes it's not too late.
Really?
I do believe sometimes it's not too late. So say you already did hook up because you didn't know you actually liked him. You thought, oh, like I'll hook up with this guy, whatever. Then you start liking him, and then you want to be different than everybody else now.
Got it. So a guy named Townshend did research where he found that in male female hookups that women 3/4 of the time acknowledged that this guy probably wasn't the best guy for them, but they were becoming emotionally attached anyway.
Right.
And 3/4 of the guys said the opposite. They said, yeah, she's probably not that great for me. And it's totally easy for me to maintain my distance. And there are biological reasons for that, which I don't know if we have time to go into right now, but maybe a future show. But the long and the short of it is, if you want this guy after you've had a hookup, then you need to explain to him very briefly, don't like give him a lecture or anything, but just say, you know what, I actually kind of like you, and this isn't something, hooking up just isn't something I'm interested in doing anymore with anyone. And if you decide you want to, you know, come and pay more attention with an eye toward a relationship, let me know.
Yeah.
And then cut him off until he does.
That's right. And don't hang out with him as a friend either. Like, he's already been in your presence. Look, men, I love men. Men are so much, we women are really complicated. I'm really glad I don't have to date women.
Right.
I'm really glad I don't have to date anyone, actually, because my husband saved me from that. But I'm really glad that I don't have to go out with women, because research shows that we are not the more romantic gender. We are much more calculating. We think much more carefully about the whole process. Men kind of either love you or they don't. So let's say you hooked up with someone and you think that, you know, you're starting to feel something for this guy, and maybe you can't tell if he's reciprocating or not. Well, then you tell him, look, you know what, it's not working for me. I really do like you, but I've decided I'm just not hooking up with anyone anymore. That's going to include you. If you decide you want more of a relationship, let me know. And by the way, then you still don't hook up with him until you're both deeply in love. Like, it's not like he says, oh, I want more relationship, and you just keep on hooking up.
Yeah.
Right, because that could just be a lie.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, this is what I've really learned from working directly with guys. The science indicates it, but then I started working more with men, and I saw that it was true. These guys are not necessarily out to just get as much tail as they can. It's not, they're not necessarily just crude players. Are there guys like that? Yeah, but most of the time guys really think that they want to fall in love, and they're wondering why it is that casual sex is not helping them do that.
Yeah
right,
that's true. It's like you going in circles, you know, you keep chasing it and it's not happening because that's not the way things work.
Right. I think so too,
scientifically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've had clients that had looked for years and years, and just they had so much going for them that no woman would say no to them. They couldn't fall in love to save their lives. They wanted to get married and have kids. They were on the point of just, oh, I guess the next woman I'll just propose to her, even though I don't love her, because I it's getting late and I want to have a family. All of which sounds, you know, like what you expect women to say. But again, it's not true that men don't want love. Men either like you or they don't. And a lot of the like you or don't has to do with the cues that you give off about sexual availability and about how much you like them. The key is show them that you really, really like the guy, but don't have sex with him until he's had time to fall deeply in love with you, ask you for at least to be exclusive and show you through his behavior, not just his words, that he loves you, because unfortunately there really are players, and you know, they lie. So you can't just go by the words, you have to go by the actions.
Right.
If you ever see a mismatch between words and actions in anyone, the actions are telling you the true story.
So if a guy can go 3 weeks without seeing or talking to you, he doesn't care about you, right?
Not enough in my book.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Literally and figuratively, not enough.
She needs to figure that out, you know, and it's not a simple thing. But like you said, you know, I mean, if you find someone that, you know, you want to be with, at least, you know, and this is from a male perspective, at least let him know that you're interested in him. And, you know, not in an overwhelming way, but you got to give some kind of feedback.
Right. But, okay, so on this discussion, I feel, and I've told Sam this 1,000 times, I feel especially because I'm 30 right now. The guy that I just was dating is 35. But he just got money and he's just gotten into this lifestyle. So he told me like the dating a bunch of women and doing all this stuff isn't out of his system yet. And that's why he doesn't want to settle down. And I thought in my head, maybe he's cutting me off because he did see a future with me and he's not ready for it. Or I'm just delusional. I don't know. But what I was telling Sam is that I feel like out here, like I have a few girlfriends that have like a roster full of guys and they treat their roster full of guys like absolute shit. No affection, no texting, telling them how much they like them or calling them to ask how their day was, and they get everything they want. They get the vacations, they get the shoes, they get the time. And then you have a woman like me who's very upfront, like I am only interested in you, doing like cute romantic stuff. Like I know you said women are less romantic, but I'm super romantic and I can't even get a text back or a call back.
Okay, so thank you for giving me all that detail because it really helps me to give you a more specific and less generic answer. The key is, first of all, don't be a bitch, because I promise you, your girlfriends who are being a bitch, they get a guy who wants a bitch. And you know, those relationships don't work out well long-term.
Right.
So if you're really aiming for, if you just want a short-term vacation, sure, do that.
Right.
But if you want something long-term, kindness and respect is where it's at. There's 60 years of excellent research proving it. And if I had to summarize all the relationship science in one sentence, here it is. If you can find and be someone kind and respectful, your love life will go well. And if you can't, it won't. And what they're doing is not kind and respectful. What you're doing is, unfortunately, what you're doing also is chasing the guy.
Right.
So let's talk for a moment about the fine line between being open and emotionally available and kind and chasing the guy.
Right.
Way, way back in human ancestry, which is where everyone's mating psychology comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we all like a chocolate bar because it has fat and sweet.
Right.
We all like that.
Right.
Because it gives us the things that kept our ancestors alive. Currently, it's giving us type 2 diabetes, but we haven't changed that much since the dawn of human prehistory even.
Right.
We haven't changed that much. So we still want what our ancient ancestors want. Now, in the past, men had to leave and hunt in groups, and some men had to stay behind and protect the band of women and families that were still there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're off on the hunt, you have no way of knowing, A, if your wife is ovulating, and B, if she's having sex with some other guy.
Right.
So all men are gamblers. Men today, men in prehistory. And the gamble they're making is, if I devote all my sexuality and all my resources to you, and I love you and you only, are you going to have only my children? That concern is called paternity assurance. It is a largely unconscious concern, but it is running the show when it comes to male mating psychology. So how they know that you're worth making that sacrifice for is they work to have you. They work to have you sexually. They work to be in your presence. They do the work of calling you. They do the work of texting you. They do the work of making the plans for the dates. They do the work of paying for the dates. They do the heavy lifting early on. So being open and kind to men is not the same thing as doing the heavy lifting and make it super easy for them to court you.
Right. Right.
What
right,
your
right.
job is to thank them for everything they're doing and tell them that you like them. But don't do their job for them. Don't initiate.
Right.
A lot of women find that very coy and catty and manipulative. And I will tell you that hunting a guy down is also manipulative. It's just manipulative in the way that doesn't work.
Right.
But you know what? You know, Dwayne, I got to tell you, though, I'm a kind of guy, I like to see a woman initiating. And if she doesn't, I feel, well, maybe she's not that into me, you know?
Sam, can I ask you what your age is and whether you're married?
Yeah, I'm 58 and I'm divorced twice.
Twice?
Because there's some evidence that as men and women age, they become a little more similar in their mating psychology.
Oh.
A little more.
Right.
But even so, what I would say to a woman who was in the same ballpark of age as you is, I wouldn't suggest that she initiate calling and texting and asking you out. What I would suggest to her is that she give you open, warm, obvious, delighted praise and affection
for
everything you do for her.
Right.
You're right. But
that
would
feel really good. Yeah. Men never get that in other, you know, I live in a world where people say, oh, Duana, you did this for me and I love you for that. And look what you did on this issue. Oh, I love that. I'm a woman, so people feel free to praise and criticize me very openly all the time. But you guys, you're in the banquet of life. You kind of starve. Almost all of the good things in your life come to you through a woman if you're heterosexual. Yeah. Usually just one woman. And if you don't have a woman right now, it feels like you're in the desert. Nobody's hugging you. Nobody's telling you you look good. Nobody tells you you smell good. You know, I mean, I would get told that stuff even if I wasn't with my husband because other women would say it.
That's true. That's very true. So there's no reinforcement
when women date you,
men. You know.
What's that, Sam?
I'm saying there's no positive reinforcement for men. There's no, like, feedback or anything, mm-hmm. and, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, if women knew how, God, men, most of you guys are so wonderful and warm and so damn easy. I mean, all it takes, my husband, honest to God, if we hardly talk in a day, but I go up to him first thing in the morning and last thing at night, maybe sometime in the middle of the day, and I just hug him and look deeply into his eyes, and I say something sweet to him, he's on cloud nine.
That's true.
I'm the only place he's getting that from.
Yeah, and
so
I feel
take that job really seriously.
Right, yeah, and I feel like a lot of men won't admit this, but they like that affection.
Of course.
Like, they love that attention. Like, I went to, on my first date with this guy I was telling you about, we went to a comedy show, and like, he had his arms wrapped around me, but I was like rubbing his hand and rubbing his arm and rubbing his leg. And when we left the theater, he was like, please don't stop doing that. I really like that. But most guys won't admit that they really like that.
Mm.
They're just like, okay, yeah, it happened in the moment. I liked it. I'm not going to tell her that. But I've realized now that men like women that give them affection because they're not getting it anywhere else.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they are.
And you better give it to them or they'll look for it somewhere else.
Exactly.
Maybe that's why people cheat.
They totally will. And here's the thing. I got a note the other day because I answer. So my volunteer service in my job is I answer every email that anyone sends me for free. Mm. And so I got this letter from a woman who is happily married. And there's a guy who's kind of started showing up where she is and, you know, has asked her and her husband to go to dinner with him. He's bird dog in this situation, right? He's kind of getting real close with the couple in hopes of getting closer with her is what he's doing.
Wow.
And she said she felt bad about it. She didn't know what to do about this situation because she kind of feels like he wants her, but at the same time, she would never cheat on her husband. But at the same time, she feels awkward being rude to this guy. And what I said is, A, you're right. He wants you. B, the danger here is that by spending more and more time with you, he falls more and more for you because this is a single guy in his life. Almost no one is giving him any positive attention.
That's
you know, his boss doesn't come in every morning and tell him what a great job he did. Guys just don't do that.
Right.
So if you're the one he starts telling everything to, and you're the one that he starts thinking about when he's got a problem, and you're the one he wants to give a hug to, it's really not very safe for either one of you emotionally.
Right.
And she said that totally helped her to understand that she needed to gradually and politely withdraw from that interaction. You know, right. Do the thing where you say, oh, yeah, we'll go out sometime and then just never do it. I didn't want her to have a big talk with the guy because that would probably humiliate him.
Right.
But just gradually withdraw from that situation. And similarly, when you're dating these men who are in their 30s, you know, you have a real opportunity to show them that you like them, but don't take their job away of courting you. Men love to win over a woman they love. And a big part of how they know they love you is that they worked to win you over. So don't do that job for them. An example of this would be he texted you or you interacted online and he asked for your number and you said, here's my number. I should tell you that, I have found that texting just tends to derail things a little bit and doesn't really let me get to know the person. But so I don't ever text, but I would welcome a phone call. And right. then if he texts you after that, he's being a bonehead. Don't text him back.
Yeah, no, right. you're right. You're right. But women yeah. have to give.
And then if he makes a phone call, he's shown some investment in you because that takes guts because you got to think of what to say.
Right. That's true. Phone calls are ballsy. And then
he calls you, answer the phone. You answer the phone with a smile in your voice, mm-hmm. and he's going to be like, I mm-hmm. rule the world.
Yeah.
When he takes you out to dinner, you say, I love this restaurant. You know, what's your favorite thing? When you rub his shoulders, oh, my God, every guy I work with, if a woman rubs his shoulders, he's like, I'm halfway in love.
That's true.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. So what you're saying also is women do have to take some initiative, but let the guy do the courting. But I totally agree. You know, you have to have some kind of feedback from the woman to let you know that that what you're doing is good and she's interested. You know,
absolutely. You know, yeah. don't be a cold fish. God, I feel yeah. sad for the guys who wind up married in a situation like that.
Right. I know.
I don't know anybody would marry.
I've become friends
like
with this couple that the guy he had been with a woman who. She was hard to get, yes, but she also was a cold fish. Like, right. guys who are listening, you want a woman who responds really warmly to your courtship. She's not easy to get into bed. She doesn't say yes necessarily if you ask her out for a date the same exact day. But when you're with her, you feel like you're walking on sunshine. That's who you want.
Right.
You enjoy being with her,
right.
and you can tell she enjoys being with you, and she says so. You should not put up with bitchiness at
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
And so this guy had put up with bitchiness. He wound up married to this woman. They were miserable for 16 years. He got a divorce. At the same time, one of my good friends had gotten a divorce from a man that she knew, her family had told her, you know, you don't have to go through with this right before she walked down the aisle.
Oh, I mean,
the marriage just shouldn't have happened. They both had kids. I helped her learn how to date this other way that I talk about in my book. And they met each other and they've been married for years now. And, you know, they constantly tell me it's so amazing to be with someone where the other person is warm and open and happy and kind and friendly and wants this just as much as you do. It's just such a party all the time when you have that. So that's what I want for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Dwayna Welch, PhD, obviously you sound like you know what you're talking
mm-hmm,
about.
For sure.
And it's very refreshing, you know, and you're taking a different approach. And I mean, I'm definitely interested in reading the books. Tell us again, what the books are named, what they're titled, and where people can find them.
Absolutely. So the books are titled Love Factually. And the first one is 10 Proven Steps for My Wish to I Do. That's the big picture for absolutely everyone out there who's dating. The second one, which that one's already out everywhere.
Okay.
Audiobook, ebook, paperback.
Yeah, I think I need it.
Various languages.
I really do.
You can get that book everywhere.
Okay.
The second book is coming out January 7th, and it's called Love Factually for Single Parents and Those Dating Them. It really drills deep into the concepts in the first book and some concepts not in the first book. The books are really, it's not like you read one and you think, oh, well, I'm done with that.
The complementary.
They both give different information.
Right.
I don't want to write the same book over and over. And that one is, you can get a free chapter at my website, lovefactually.co. In fact, you can get free chapters with both of them there.
Sweet.
That one will be out in audio, paperbook, and ebook, all on the same date, January 7th. And I will answer any emails that you send me through that website for free.
Well, congratulations, Dwayna. You're awesome. And we invite you back on the show anytime. Dwayna Welch, everybody, go to lovefactually.co and you'll find out everything about her. You'll see that she's been featured on many. I see even eHarmony give you a great testimonial here, and this is awesome. So everybody, check it out. Dwayna, thank you so much for calling in this morning. We really have to run. We only have a minute left. So we gave
you. Thank you. It was a great pleasure to be on your show.
Of course,
thank you.
We gave you double the time we normally do. So obviously, you were good.
Thank you.
Okay. All the best, Rita. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Anyway, so you know what to do, folks. If you want to, I'm definitely going to read this because I don't know what
the
fuck
I'm doing
wrong.
I feel like I need to read the book.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Same.
But we need to find out really what the dating scene is today and how to behave. But she obviously, you know, she had some things that are counterintuitive.
Right.
And that's why, you know, maybe we're thinking wrong.
I agree.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Danny, thank you as always.
Just you're welcome.
Being here is 90% of the, like they say, right? Showing up is 90% of the, of whatever. Take care, folks.
What?
See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.